Welcome to the Part-Time Money Podcast, Episode 5, Making Extra Money by Turning Your Hobby into a Full-Time Business. I'm your host, Philip Taylor, creator of PT Money Personal Finance. Part-Time Money Podcast is designed to help you discover new and interesting ways to make extra money and to learn the ins and outs of those money-making methods. Not from me, but from the people who are actually doing the work. Along the way, hopefully you can pick up a few entrepreneurial skills to help you in whatever money-making pursuit you take on. All right, today I'm speaking with Jeff Block, founder of JustPaperRoses.com. Jeff's site provides custom-made flowers for anniversary gifts and other occasions, but it was really a business that was started because he had a hobby, and that was in origami and creating flowers out of paper. So I'm going to let him explain a little more about that and talk about his business. So welcome, Jeff. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you.
So what exactly, what kind of products are you making for people at JustPaperRoses.com?
Well, the business always morphs, and that's a topic in itself. But our mainstay is somebody years ago created these themes for wedding anniversaries. Most people will know the first anniversary is paper, and the 25th is silver, and the 50th is gold. Mm-hmm. But very few are going to know, like if you go to a Hallmark calendar, you're going to see the first is paper, the second is cotton, the third is leather, the fourth is fruit, and it goes all the way through 15. So what I've done is I came along, my hobby was origami, which is playing around with paper, and I created some paper flowers, and I'm sort of in the middle of the story already about the business.
Yeah.
But when I put them online, people started buying them. And to this day, Phil, I really don't know whether I knew the first wedding anniversary was paper or one of my first customers told me that's why he was buying it. But that's our niche. We've created, actually for 20 different anniversaries, we've created the material flowers for them.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I've definitely heard of the anniversary calendar you're talking about. So so many of your customers are first-year anniversary husbands or wives looking to give flowers to their spouse, right?
Well, it started out with first, and again, I'm sort of telling the story from the middle of the story outwards.
Yeah.
But it started out with paper in the year 1999 and 2000, and 2001 really started taking off. And by the time 2003 came, I realized I come from a family of entrepreneurs, so I kind of look at four men in my family. They're all deceased, but I look at them as my mentors. And I said, you know, to myself, I said, I'm really doing a disservice here. You know, Phil, and I'll use you as an example, a great customer for first anniversary told me his wife loved the paper roses. The second year, I know the date of your anniversary. I've got your email address, and I'm doing nothing for you. So in April of 2003, my wife and I got cotton, real cotton from the fields of Tennessee, thinking that's what we would sell. Well, those are dirty and nasty. So I created artificial cotton roses, and, you know, the beauty of the Internet is you put them on and you see if they sell. Figured if I sold five of them for the month, I'd be happy. Well, we sold 25. So the rest of 2003 was spent filling out the materials, the leather through aluminum, the 10th. And now we have repeat customers, and it's not just for the first anniversary. We have customers coming back year after year for whatever the next material is.
Oh, I love that. So you've sort of taken that that calendar and then built your business on top of that. That's genius.
Exactly, exactly. One common question that if you ever have an astute business person ask you about your business, you're generally going to hear, do you have repeat customers and do you have referral customers? And the reason of that is I don't care what business we're talking about, gaining a customer the very first time is very expensive. It's marketing and it's advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a customer to repeat or refer is close to zero cost.
Mm-hmm.
So until you have a business model that has repeat or referred customers, I don't want to say you don't have a business because there are some businesses out there, maybe even residential real estate brokers like a one-shot, even though they all talk about referrals and everything. But there's a lot of businesses out there that are one-shot deals, but it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to get that customer. You're always trying to gain a new customer. We've had, in 10 years now, we've had 35,000 customers. And at this point in time, I really don't even know where they all come from, you know, whether it's referral or, you know, how they heard about us.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of listeners excited about your business. So let's back up a little bit and talk about your hobby and sort of how that translated into a side business idea. So maybe just tell me a little bit about your hobby of origami.
Well, let's go back to the early 1990s. I had a hobby of origami, which is traditional, the art of Japanese paper folding. Generally, you look at instructions, and depending on how practiced you are, you can get more and more complex. Well, I was in the corporate world, and my last corporate job was in 1992-93. I was the head of marketing for a subsidiary of a Fortune 500 company. Our subsidiary was a nice little company. We had did about $40 million a year and a couple hundred employees. Mm-hmm. And the parent company sold the subsidiary to our major competitors. Now, at this time, Phil, I had created, just sort of for fun, a heart-shaped fold-out origami greeting card. And one of the things that happens to all of your listeners, if they're hobby-related, is when you're good at something, all of your family and friends around you are always going to say, you should be in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if somebody's a good cook or a good chef, they say, you should open a restaurant. Well, being a good chef in your home is completely different than opening up a restaurant. They're
right.
Two different things.
Right.
So I got 2 weeks' notice, and I had a choice. My choice was either dust off my resume and see if I could get another corporate job, which I was already, it was a mutual divorce. It wasn't just the selling, but it was like I'm not really a team player. I'm not really into meetings, you know, and doing the corporate thing. So I said, I want to see if I could make a go of this greeting card company. Everybody loves them. You know, make the greeting card into a greeting card business.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed specifically for Valentine's Day, and I also decided at the same time, because I have two other hobbies, I like to eat at least twice a day, and I like to sleep with a roof over my head, I decided I would drive for a limousine company, and this was down in South Florida. So, and I figured, and this is another thing entrepreneurs can do, is we can grit ourselves to say, okay, for 6 months I can do anything.
Right.
You know, Phil, you could tell me right now for 6 months you've got to jump rope 100 times a day. Well, I can do that for 6 months.
Right, right.
So I set my mind that in 6 months the greeting card business would be up and running. Well, 5 years later, I was still driving for the limousine company.
Okay.
The greeting cards did sold very well locally, but nationally I got nowhere because you're up against Hallmark and American Greetings.
Sure.
But by that time, now we're into 1999, the Internet had come along. Al Gore invented the Internet for us. And I had a website, like a very crude website, just really informational, you know, like an online brochure. You couldn't really buy anything there, showing my fold-out heart cards, and I did other shapes that folded out. And I also put my origami orchids on there, which are on the current website, too. That is my art. I make origami orchids out of hand. Of course, everything's by hand. It takes about 3 hours, 3.5 hours for me to make one arrangement, and I sell them for about $200. Well, those were on the website, and at the same time, I'm teaching kids for 2 weeks at a summer art camp. I'm the origami instructor. And have you ever seen anybody do a cocktail napkin rose, take a napkin and twirl it around their fingers?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't think I've ever seen it up close, no.
Well, you don't hang around in enough bars, I guess. Millions of people do it, and a friend of mine in 1990 showed me how to do it. Now, again, this is 10 years later in 99. So I'm showing the kids how to twirl a cocktail napkin rose around their fingers, and I remember it like it was yesterday, Phil. I remember the little boy. I bent down to help him. And it was like this was the light bulb moment of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, why don't I take that high-end art paper that I make my origami out of and see if I can make an upscale cocktail napkin rose. You know, instead of using a napkin, I'd use the paper, twirl it around my fingers, and instead of using the napkin to create a stem, I would create a wire stem and floral tape. Well, that night I came home, and that night was the birth of, I didn't name it yet, but it was the birth of Just Paper Roses.
Okay.
I put some red paper roses on the website, and they started selling. And another friend of mine really enlightened me on the marketing side. You know, I was sort of like, why are these selling? He says, well, Jeff, your origami orchids are beautiful, but a man buying those for his wife, he's not quite sure she's going to like them. It's a very Eastern taste, a very minimalist taste.
Mm-hmm.
But roses, he said, but roses are roses are roses. So
right.
A dozen red paper roses, that's a no-brainer. So that's when I changed the name of the business to Just Paper Roses, thinking I would, you know, service only the first anniversary. And I've already told you the story of how we got into the second and,
mm-hmm.
and more.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the start of the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't really say it's, I use the word morph a lot, and that's very important for businesses, because this did start as a greeting card business, and now we're selling not only the flowers that I've created, but we're selling some ancillary products, some other products that are in the same themes. But it's like, you know, there's some stories out there. The Shell Oil Company that's in the oil business, they started out actually trading seashells. That was
wow.
the origin of their business. So businesses do morph, and an entrepreneur has to be comfortable with that, has to be
mm-hmm.
accepting.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
go with the flow, the way the business goes.
So you mentioned you spent about 5 years doing the greeting cards and the limousine service, driving.
Right.
So during that time period, you know, how was the greeting card business able to support you, from a revenue perspective on a monthly basis? What were you getting in?
Well, on a revenue basis, it was not more than a couple hundred dollars.
Okay, and then once you switched to the roses, how soon were you able to leave the limousine job?
Well, the switch came when I had about a $1,500 a month.
Okay.
And again, that's gross revenue. That's not, you know, I had to pay some business bills out of that. But that's when I realized that I had something sustainable that I could put full time into it.
Awesome.
And it really took until June of 2001 is really when I chronicled the start of the business, because that's when I learned about pay-per-click. It was GoTo.com, then it became Overture, then that became Yahoo. Google AdWords came in along the way. And that's really what spiked the business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I should mention, you know, at this point, it's 100% internet business. I've never had a retail store. I don't want a retail store. It's a niche business that doesn't really have enough customers in a little geographic area to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you're on the internet, you're national, you're international.
Right.
We ship... We're like a UPS commercial. 100% of the orders come through the website, and we work out of a home office, and every day UPS picks up 20, 25 packages on our front door, shipping all over the country, all over the world.
Mm. Amazing.
I think so.
Well, it's definitely an impressive story. What skills do you think make you successful at doing this?
Well, again, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and first of all, I wrote a book about the business called Steel Wool and a Stick, My Hobby on Steroids, and sometimes I think that entrepreneurs can learn, can be, you know, you can, it's a learned skill. Other times I think it's genetic. There is one quote I saw years ago on a Harley Davidson t-shirt, and I just think it so applies to being an entrepreneur or what is an entrepreneur. And the quote said, if I have to explain it to you, you wouldn't understand. And that's just so insightful, because I really think my skills that I've learned or genetically learned from my upbringing,
mm-hmm.
I grew up, my family, my grandfather and father were in the costume jewelry manufacturing business. If that business had survived, I'd probably be a jewelry designer with them, a packaging designer. That's my area of strength, as I design these products, things like that. And, you know, the persistence, that's something else that I'm not sure can be learned or not. I could probably chronicle about 35 times where I just wanted to quit and throw in the towel. But you just persist through those, and, you know, in my case, the business kept growing. I don't claim to have any particular artistic talent. You know, I don't want to say I'm the, you know, greatest origami artist out there, because I'm not.
Right,
there's others out there that far surpass it. But in terms of the entrepreneur of, you know, and again, maybe the parallel is to art. You know, there are some great artists that they call them starving artists for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They do beautiful artwork, but then it sits in their home or in their gallery, and they never get out there and sell and market.
Right.
Well, I'm a good combination of both, because, you know, as beautiful as my stuff is, if nobody buys it, I'll be a starving artist.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm reading the book E-Myth, and you're echoing some of the basic principles of that book that talk about finding the balance between your technician, your manager, and your entrepreneur that all live inside you.
Exactly.
Most people start a business, they're the technician. And in your case, the technician skills was, you know, your ability to make the flowers. But it sounds like you had a good balance of managerial and entrepreneurial side to be able to grow this business.
E-Myth Revisited by Gerber is one of the 12 books that I mentioned in my book as a reading list. And I'm right now on that second level. My adult stepdaughter works for me full time. She's in charge of production. Her job description is, as long as all the packages are on the steps by the time UPS gets here, then she's fulfilled her job description.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it frees me up to work on the marketing of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as Gerber, I'm at that second phase now where I don't yet have a business. I'm a manager. And it's funny, 3 years ago when we moved here, that's when my stepdaughter started working for me full-time. I always had part-time workers in Florida, but here I wanted her full-time. And she asked me, what was my job description?
Mm.
And I says, well, what I want my job description to be is a daily cell phone call to you saying, Shannon, how much money did we make today?
So, Jeff, can you give someone who might be wanting to start an online business such as yours, can you give them some advice as far as, you know, setting up a website and how to drive traffic to the site to create sales?
Well, it's really a lot of basics. First of all, you can start very inexpensively with your own site. I know I've done a couple totally unrelated sites through GoDaddy.com, and it's, you know, literally only a couple of bucks a month to set up a site.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Yahoo and PayPal and a lot of others have these merchant kind of sites. I started up long enough ago that I'm my own credit card merchant, so, you know, I don't need their services, you know, for taking the money and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But basically, you've got to start someplace, and the beauty of the Internet is it's very easy. You know, somebody who's got an idea or is a home hobbyist, literally within a few hours, they can be online. Driving traffic is, you know, that's sort of the holy grail of search engine optimization, SEO, and I've actually done a very lazy job about it. It's amazing we've come so far, because I am not top-ranked when people search for different things. But I do have a couple of affiliates that are top-ranked, and they feed business to me.
Okay.
And also, I have one particular gift listing site. It's called findgift.com, F-I-N-D-G-I-F-T.com, and we get about 25% of our business through them.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different ways to, you know, bring in your visibility. And, of course, one of the easiest things to do, because, you know, even though I'm unique, there is nobody that does our products directly. There's always ways, you know, for example, there are other businesses that participate in the first anniversary market. One of them does frame poems. Well, the poem is a piece of paper. Another one does stock certificates. Another one does a message in a bottle. And these are businesses that I've known about for 10 years, because I've seen them when you Google first anniversary gift, I see my competitors there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you you know, if you do have a business or a business idea, you can see what else is out there. And one other thing I'd like to note about that comment is so many entrepreneur wannabes have these ideas of, this is such a great idea, nobody else is doing it. Well, that's sort of a yellow flag for me. Sometimes there's a reason why nobody else is doing it.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So just a you know, void in the marketplace is not necessarily going to create your success.
Right. So what other mistakes do you see people make when they're trying to you know, make money with a business like yours?
Well, what I see, because I'm basically, if you would label the business, it's an arts and crafts business online. Arts and crafters make the mistake all the time of, my stuff is so beautiful, people will buy it. Well, that may or may not be true, but it's a very limited and a very competitive environment. When you go to any arts and crafts show, you're going to see the busiest booths are women's jewelry, women's handbags, and women's clothing. The other arts and craft things, the pottery, the flowers, the wall hangings, those are very difficult sales. Now, the reason the women's jewelry and handbags and clothing have, you know, the best sales, best traffic, is because there's a utilitarian part of their business. There's a use for it. So, you know, one of the mistakes that, you know, arts and crafters make, again, is, you know, my stuff is beautiful. Well, you really have to figure out a niche use for it. And then there's, you know, other ways to really look at your own product. So we have a wood crafter who makes wood vases for us, and we buy about 700 vases a year from him. Well, he could go to all the arts and craft shows he wants. He would never sell 700 vases in a year. We buy wholesale, and, you know, he found a niche, and he's got a couple other wholesale places, and he's happier than can be. He loves the woodworking, and he doesn't even do the shows anymore. He's got a couple wholesale outlets for his craft.
I see. That's good advice. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Any other thing you want to share today, maybe promote your website or the book?
Well, again, the website is justpaperroses.com, so I invite everybody to go there and see what we have. The book is listed there for sale.
Okay.
I'm both long on advice, I can talk to people for hours, but also short on advice, because entrepreneurship really is about just getting out there and doing it. We can all have mentors, we can all have friends, we can have mastermind groups, things like that, but there's nothing that's going to replace the personal persistence. You know, when it comes down, I've gotten to the point, you know, I mean, you're interviewing me at the point in time where I don't consider what I do to be W-O-R-K. It's just what I do with a lot of my hours each day. And, you know, I've joked with other people when they talk about, you know, entrepreneurship or working for yourself versus, you know, a job, you know, a career. And I say, well, the thing about being your, you know, in your own business is the pay really sucks, but it's made up, you make it up with the long hours.
I would agree with that, yep.
So I don't even keep track of the hours I put into the business.
Well, that's good. Well, I appreciate you sharing a lot of good advice, and I know some people listening will be definitely thankful to you. So I appreciate you coming on today with me, and good luck with the future of your business.
Very good. Great speaking with you.
Yep. That does it for this week's podcast. This has been Phil Taylor with the Part-Time Money Podcast. You can contact me at pt@ptmoney.com or just visit me online at ptmoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and see you next week.